This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's Authentic Persuasion live training session. Today is Friday, July 14th. This is session 39. We're going to do some Q&A stuff. So if you have been tuning in for a while, you know I do these every once in a while. This is being broadcast live all over. So it's right now on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube. If you're watching it live, hit the like button. If you're on YouTube, make sure to subscribe so you can get all the videos that are out. Leave a comment, say hello, where you're watching this from, maybe who you work for. And as I go through this, let me know your questions as well. Like I said, this is going to be a Q&A session. I've got some questions that I've received recently that I want to answer here that I think might be insightful for people out there in sales, and even for sales leaders to take and kind of apply to their sales team and maybe things to be on the lookout for. Last week's session was on enrolling versus sailing. Some of it might be just terminology and things that people use, like the discussion about persuasion versus influence and getting into what those words actually mean and how they want to be used. And so make sure to check out that session. Last week, it is, like I said, session 38. If you want to check that out, you can find it on all the platforms I mentioned. You can find it on the Cutter Consulting Group site, cutterconsultinggroup.com/podcast. And then it's also being replayed every week on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast, where you can find everywhere on all the podcast platforms. You can find episodes like this and all the other ones. Just so you know, I am doing guest episodes. I do some solo episodes, replay some clips of other shows that I've done in the past. And so there's episodes coming out 5 days a week on that. So make sure to subscribe and check out the stream for the Authentic Persuasion Show. Now, a little bit about why I do this. So I was not a fan of sales growing up, and it's why I did the episode I did last week on enrolling. I fell into sales. I didn't think I was in sales. This is when I was 27. I was in the mortgage business, and really it started a journey that I've actually run away from many times, thinking I don't want to be in this. Maybe this isn't the path for me and my life, and just keep getting pulled back into it, pushed back into it, brought back into it for one reason or another. One of the things that I know is a part of my mission and purpose is that I want to help people in any way that I can. My own mission statement that I have, both as a business and as myself, is to facilitate transformation in three ways. One is to enable and encourage those light bulb moments. You know, when you hear something, you learn something, you try it out, it works, the light bulb goes off, and you're like, wow, that's amazing. That's that aha moment. I love helping people realize that and take things that I know, things that I have learned, discovered from usually failing, falling down a bunch, and then teaching other people. That's amazing. Part of my mission is to help underdogs win their game. I feel like I'm a lifelong underdog, and I want other people, especially if you're in sales and you're not sure if you should be there. Maybe you fell into it. Maybe it wasn't a career plan. Maybe you needed a job in the moment. You thought, hey, let me try sales. Maybe you have that friend who's in sales and they're killing it and they're making lots of money, and all they do is talk about how much money they're making and how great sales is. So you thought you'd give that a shot, and maybe you're experiencing that it's not that easy for you. Maybe they've been doing it for a long time. Maybe they have some attributes that help them that maybe you need to develop still. Either way, I want to help you as an underdog win your game. And then lastly, I want to leave people better than I found them, which is super important for me in business and in life. So that's why I do these shows. Now, let's dive into this. Like I said, we're going to do a Q&A session. And again, if you're tuning in on Facebook, on YouTube, or on LinkedIn, make sure to leave a comment, say hello. If you have your own sales related questions, and if I have time today, I'm always happy to answer. Those are fun. And if I don't, we'll make that a topic for next week, because I'm going to do Q&A next week as well. So let's get to the first one. So question number one is, I am having trouble getting personal information such as payment, credit card number, social security number, but I used to be good at it. What changed? So again, setting up this question, this person, the salesperson, is having trouble getting that personal sensitive information that some consumers, some people might freak out about, but they were successful in the past. And that's important because it's a different set of advice or strategies or things to think about if you've never been successful at it or you're new in sales. But if you had it and you lost it, almost like someone in sports where they had it, they were making baskets, right? Or they could hit the ball and now they can't. What happened? Typically in this sales environment, what I see as just a general rule is if you used to be able to move people forward in a sales process and now you can't, typically what's happened is you have gone away from your process. You're no longer following the formula that worked for you. And there's two main parts of the formula, right? And if we think of it like a recipe for making a cake, there's the ingredients and then there's the process, right? The steps, the stages, oven temperature, how long you bake it for, and then the ingredients, which is all the things that have to go into it. When we look at your sales process, it's the same thing. There is a formula. There is a recipe. There's what you bring to the table. There's your attributes. There's the things that you're doing, your ingredients, right? Your sales success traits, which I mention in Selling with Authentic Persuasion in the book. And then there is the process, right? There is the steps, and that is your sales flow. That's your sales process. I've outlined it on many sessions here, and I talk about it a lot, which is, I call it the authentic persuasion pathway, which is a universal sales process to use no matter what you're selling, no matter who you're selling to, no matter how long your sales cycle is. It is the fundamentals that need to be a part of your sales process to move someone from their comfort zone, from safety into the unknown, which is buying your product or service, which is outside their comfort zone. By definition, it means they have to make a change, and change is dangerous and scary for so many reasons. And so you have to move them forward and you have to have a process. For me, what I found is universally effective, no matter what, is the authentic persuasion pathway and the five steps to follow with that. If you want more information about that, you can send me a direct message. You can hit me up. You can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And I'm happy to send you some information as well as the videos that I've done that are online, that are on YouTube, walking through the pathway. Now, those are the two parts that require. One is you and your ingredients, and two is the process that you're following. If you were successful at one point, even if it was when you were new, and I've talked about this before on episodes where we talk about beginner's luck versus slumps and how that happens, it's basically this same concept, which is if you were successful, even as a beginner, and you got some deals done, there's something that happened. Now, I have seen people trip over deals where they're a hot mess, they don't know what they're doing, and somebody is either in so much need or is so patient that they tolerate you being so terrible. And most people are terrible when they start in sales because you just don't know everything, right? It's like expecting a baby to just be able to get up and walk. It's not what happens. They fall a lot. They get back up. They fall a lot. They get back up. They're a hot mess. They are a danger to them and others until they figure it out. And then they become a different type of danger. In this case here, that's what happens with you. So you can accidentally trip over some sales, but usually it's because you're just following a process. You're following the formula, the recipe of what it takes. You listened to some training, you went through, hopefully your company gave you some good training, they gave you a script, they gave you a process, you did that, you followed the recipe and it worked. If you had it and you lost it, usually what happens is people stop following the recipe. They start winging it, right? Another term I use is freestyling. What happens is if you were using that cooking, baking example, they made a few cakes, it worked well, they feel confident. Maybe you feel confident. I got this. I don't need the recipe anymore. I know how to make a cake, right? Then what happens? You get into the kitchen and you're like, yeah, I think it was some flour. I think it was this. I think it was that. Maybe an egg. You put those things together. You're like, I think it was 400 degrees. I think I cook it for this long. And that's what I remember. I got this, right? I was successful at it. I don't need a recipe. That cake, hit or miss. If it works, part of the problem is you don't know why it worked because you didn't have a recipe. You didn't follow a process. You just winged it, right? You're just freestyling in the kitchen and just throwing things together. If it doesn't work, you also don't know why, because of the same reasons. In sales, I see that all the time where somebody gets a level of confidence. They figure out that they figure that they've arrived. They think, I've made it because I've closed enough deals. So I don't need your script. I don't need to think about the training. I don't need to do this and that. I've got it. What happens is then they don't follow the process. They don't follow a recipe and they're dangerous on the phones or in meetings. just as dangerous as somebody would be in the kitchen. They don't know what to do with their eyes closed. Now, there's people who can bake in the kitchen because they've done it so much. They don't need a recipe. They've got it. And they're not just winging it, but they know exactly because they've memorized the process. Okay. So that is the key with sales. The outward indicator that this is happening to you is that you no longer can get the things that you could get before, whether it's full sales, whether it's personal information like social security number, banking information, things like that. You're no longer able to get that. Now, why is that, right? That was a long-winded kind of back explanation, setting the foundation for what is the issue. Now, what is truly happening? Well, they don't trust you. Fundamental. Number one thing, super easy. Remember, they're in their comfort zone. Your prospective customer is in a comfort zone where outside of that is something they need or want. They know they should do it, but it's also different. It equals change. Change equals danger. Danger equals death in that primal part of our brain. And so they are afraid of change. They're looking to you to be the guide that they can trust to help them safely navigate outside of their comfort zone and into the unknown. They're wanting you to do that, okay? When you're not following a process that works, when you're violating the fundamental principles of communicating with someone and helping them feel like you care about them and they can trust you, for example, salespeople talking all the time and monologuing and lecturing and telling someone how things work, making themselves the hero as the salesperson in the company, the other person's not going to trust you. They think you're only in it for you. You only care about your results and what you're trying to accomplish as the salesperson. They don't trust you. They don't want to give you that information. When somebody says, send me more information, I need to talk to so-and-so, I'm not giving you that, I need to research this, that's them telling you they don't trust you. Because if they trusted you, they would move forward. So keep that in mind. A lot of times I hear salespeople where they say, oh, well, that was just a bad lead, or I don't like this lead source, or there's something going on, or it's the economy, or it's this, or it's that, or like pointing externally. I'll tell you, if you're getting that a bunch, or you're finding that you're now not moving enough conversations past a certain point, that's you. And there's something you're doing in your process. Either it's your mindset and how you're feeling about things, and are you limiting yourself, or are you feeling negative about something, or are you not following the process, not following the recipe that worked and moving those forward? So with this one here, this question, going back to it, is that if you're having trouble getting personal information, but you used to be good at it, what changed? Well, what changed is you're not following that process. Number one thing I do with any salesperson that I know had it and then basically lost it, and this is a good tip for managers and owners watching or listening to this, or if you're in sales, do this for yourself, take ownership and control of your own sales career and your destiny, is get back to the basics. Find your script. Yes, I know that's a whole nother topic. I've done the show many, many times about why salespeople dislike scripts and why they're completely wrong at disliking scripts. But go back to your script, go back to the fundamentals, go back to talking less. When you were new, or when you were probably doing really well, you weren't lecturing and monologuing. You were asking questions and you were listening. You didn't assume everyone wanted it. You didn't prejudge why they would want it. You actually asked questions and listened, cared about the answer, and then tried to serve them with what you were selling in those conversations. So the key is get back to that. Number one thing, if you want to get out of the slump or you want to get back to having people trust you, it sounds super weird. Ask more questions and talk less. Remember, two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you're talking. That fixes most people's issues with not being able to move someone forward in a conversation, because if you talk less and get them talking more, they will inherently feel like you care. They will learn to trust you. And if you do your job as a guide following your process, you will move them forward. So again, if you're getting those kind of responses, it's because they don't trust you. You got to get back to building trust with people. And you can't just say, trust me, I know what I'm doing, or we're so amazing, you should trust us. That is a red flag that says, no, I shouldn't trust. If you have to tell me that I should trust you, or you tell me that you're amazing and I should want to buy from you, I will not. And maybe that's my underdog side. Maybe that's my defiant side. But I think that sets off red alarms for most people, unless they're just purely trying to go with the crowd. All right. Question number two, let's go into this. Here it is. My company just raised the price of our service and I'm not sure people will want to sign up. What should I do? Now, this is something that happens constantly. Prices fluctuate. And this is a question I've seen forever. I've dealt with forever as a manager, even before this whole inflation craziness that's happening right now, where it's gone up the fastest it's gone up since 1981, I think is the stat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about companies make decisions at times and over time to raise their prices. If you have a service that's $99 a month, it's going to go up over time, right? Because either the service has become more valuable, the economy can support it, the branding can support it. There's all kinds of reasons it goes up. If you've been a subscriber of Netflix for any long length of time, then you know they just keep creeping the prices up every few years or every so often. I remember when it was, I think, $5 or $6 and you could get one or two DVDs in the mail, like those days versus now what it is. And so prices go up. Companies raise their prices for many reasons, sometimes out of desperation because they need to make more money and they think the best way to solve their revenue problem or their profit problem is to raise their price. They might also have a giant hole in the boat where they don't have a very good retention rate. Their turnover is terrible. They're losing clients. And so they're losing water out of the bucket as fast as they're trying to pour it in. And they think the best way to solve that is by raising prices. And that doesn't, because it'll actually make churn worse. If your service isn't good, you will lose more people because they can't, in their mind, justify a higher price. Now, for you, the salesperson, here is the key to understand. Companies are going to raise their price. You yourself are living in your comfort zone. Remember, if you listen to the first question that I just answered, I talked a lot about why people might not trust you. What they're facing in the sales process as a customer is they're in their comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone in every area of our life. Again, I've said this before, some people are very comfortable with change in one aspect, but not another. Some people are happy trying a new restaurant and a new type of food all the time, or just getting in the car and heading a direction and traveling and seeing whatever happens and exploring. Other people literally need to plan everything out, and or they only like certain foods, and or they won't try new restaurants, whatever that looks like. But that same person might have a high tolerance for change in relationships or in cities they live in or careers or something like that. So everyone has these comfort zones across all different levels in their life. You as a salesperson also have a comfort zone. And this is very important for you to be mindful of, because I see a lot of times where people in sales get in their comfort zone in their role in sales, right? I have my script, I have my process. We do these kind of leads. I say these things and I go through this, and then change happens. Price goes up, new lead source, new scripting, new compliance, new technology. Salespeople freak out. They don't want to change. They can't handle change. And it's because they're so deeply buried within their comfort zone. And maybe that's you. Maybe I'm saying this and it's resonating with you and you're like, oh my gosh, that's me. And that's normal. That's human nature. We want to stick with what is known. We want to stick with what is safe, because again, outside of that is change, and change is dangerous. Danger equals death in that part of our mind. And we want to avoid that at all costs. If there's any leaders watching, and I wrote a chapter in a book called Voices for Leadership, and my chapter was called Marry the Vision, Date the Strategy. If you want help, if you find that your team is not changing or adapting to change or handling new things that come up, stuff like that, please email me. I am happy to send you a copy of the book or even just that chapter. You can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, or you can find me on whatever platform. If you're watching this on social media, you can send me a direct message and then we'll connect up on that. That chapter is super important. Marry the vision, date the strategy. It's how you help your teams move out of it. For everyone in sales watching or listening to this, the key is that you've also got to be married to the vision, but dating strategy. Prices, script, technology, lead sources, those are strategies. When it comes to price, this one is overly sensitive. This is something, it's just going to happen over time. If the price goes up, if they say, we're now going to charge this instead of what we were charging, what should you do? Well, that's really up to you. You've got to first assess take some time, figure out, do you believe it's worth more? Do you see the justification from the company standpoint, the economy, the economics, the value, the return on investment, whatever it is that you're selling, do you see that it is valuable even at a higher price point, right? Using Netflix. Netflix is $10. It goes to $12. Is that still valuable to me as a consumer? Is it still worth it? Is it still a good deal? Or is there something better? If you know as a salesperson that it's still valuable, the economics still make sense, there's still a return on investment at some level. Even for consumers, there's always a return on investment that something is doing. Somebody wants to buy a new car, there's a return on investment. There's something they want, whether it's confidence, it's something to do with their ego, makes them feel good. They just enjoy it and it's happy, which you know you can't monetize, you can't calculate that, but it just brings them joy, or it's reliable and they don't have to worry about maintenance. It's safe for their family. Whatever it looks like, there's some kind of ROI. Is it worth more? Is it still worth what it's worth if the price is higher? So you have to figure that out. If you're not sure, deal with your company. If your company isn't helping you understand why the higher price is still a good deal for your customers, they're letting you down because they're making you do the research and making you determine that on your own. And I've seen some companies do that where they literally just roll out a change and say, here it is, go. Without helping anybody understand the economics and the strategies on how to handle that internally and externally. Internally meaning your mind as a salesperson, externally meaning in your conversations with potential customers. First, you've got to do your research. You've got to understand, is it valuable? If it's valuable, then that goes into the second part, which is accepted. Here's the biggest thing. And I wrote an ebook about this. It's called Overcoming Objections, Both Yours and Theirs. And that's on Amazon, or you can email me. And the podcast will be in the show notes if you want to email me. But the part in that ebook, which is overcoming theirs and yours, is that you might have some objections getting in your way. And I've seen this so many times, company raises the price. Salespeople are like, okay, sounds good. We'll do it. Internally, you don't agree. You don't believe in it. You don't think that's fair. You think it's going to be impossible to sell. I've had so many reps say, it's not possible to sell that. You just raised the price from $50 to $60 a month or $50 to $100 a month. It's not possible. No one will ever buy that. I promise that I know that I know that I know you will always prove yourself right in any aspect of your life, in any way possible. If you think this kind of person can't be trusted or this is wrong, you will always look for ways to prove that you are right at all times. Again, human nature, it's the part of our brain that's focused on that. If you say no one's ever going to buy at this price, either people will tell you no, or your conversations will have a lower level of confidence. They'll basically be weak when it's talking about pricing because you don't agree in it. You don't think they're going to agree. So of course they don't agree. You might close one or two deals, but definitely not where you used to be. And then you'll prove that you were right. And you'll probably prove that you no longer will be at that company. Either you'll quit or they're going to fire you. If you don't believe that that price is something people will pay, you need to overcome that yourself or move on. Move out, figure something else out, because it will not work. If you don't believe it, it won't work. You have to understand it. And again, that's why the first part is so important. If you've done the calculations, if you looked at the numbers and you said, this is still a really good deal. This is still really valuable, whether it's based on itself, just looking at the past price versus the new price and whatever's included, looking at what's being offered by competitors, or which for a lot of products and services out there, looking at the cost of doing nothing, right? If that consumer, that buyer, that customer, that business, they don't buy from you, what is the cost of their inaction, right? What is the opportunity cost that they're giving up by not moving forward with what you have, even if it's double the price, right? If you go from 50 to 100 a month, right? We're talking double the price. Now, for some, that's a big deal. Some, that's not a big deal as far as a customer side, but does it make sense? You have to understand it. You have to believe it. You have to have 100% conviction that you know that people will still want it. If we look at something, and this is a good example, because most people, even if you're not a user of the product, you're familiar with the prices, is iPhone prices. Okay. There was a time, iPhones, $100, $200, way back in the day. Obviously, inflation. Obviously, the economy changing. Obviously, everything has gone up in price since 2007 when the first iPhone came out, right? So we're talking 15 years. Everything's gone up in prices. However, every time an iPhone comes out, or at least for a period of time, they jump like crazy. It's like the new iPhone's $1,000. The new iPhone's $1,200. Like, who the hell would ever pay for that? People would pay for that. Apple thought that people would pay for it, and people absolutely pay for it, right? And they know that people will. Obviously, there's probably some level of additional tech in there that justifies it, but they also know they can just do it because they've got a loyal following. You have to believe it. You have to have that conviction or it will never work. Whether it's the price, whether it's the process, whether it's anything to do with sales, you have to own it. You have to know it's going to work. And that's the only way it's going to happen. And again, this is where, from a management perspective, I've had this conversation with many people over my career, and especially now as a consultant, is in the most caring, empathetic way possible with a salesperson, which is, if you don't think it's possible, if you don't agree with this price change, you're not going to be successful. And it might be time to part ways, right? Because you're just not going to sell it. If you don't believe in something, you're not going to sell it. If you don't believe it's worth the price that someone's going to pay, you're never going to be able to sell it at scale. Again, you might stumble on people every once in a while who are so desperate or so eager to get it that they don't care about your own internal issues with the price, but you won't be able to do it at scale. And that is the key. So just make sure you get that set up internally in your mind so that you can succeed. So that's it. Two questions for today. Good stuff. Hopefully this was valuable for people watching, tuning in. Again, I mentioned this last week, and it's something that's fascinating that somebody on a podcast I was on, he mentioned it. If you're listening to this, hopefully there was something in there that resonated with you. There's a reason you're listening to this. There's a reason you're watching it, whether it's live on LinkedIn, which I'm watching here, or on YouTube, or on the Cutter Consulting Group Facebook page, or you're checking out the replay in so many different places, or on the podcast. There's a reason. There's something in here. There was a message in here for you to get to help you with your sales career, maybe to help your team if you're a sales leader, to help pivot them, look out for things, how to support them, how to optimize your team, how to make your team successful, help them close more deals, and be that guide for your customers and to help your company out. Next week, like I said, I'm going to be doing some more Q&A. If you ever have questions, you have something where you're struggling with it, you can always email me or direct message me. Again, my email is jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. If you want a copy of that ebook, Overcoming Objections, email me. I'll send you the PDF. That way you can check it out, start putting some things in place and or looking at your own mindset. But if you have questions, let me know. I'm always happy. I always love answering those on this weekly show. But that's it. Thanks for everyone tuning in, taking some time out of your day, whether it was live today on Thursday or on the replay. I appreciate you being a part of my journey as a goal to help shift sales from being a dirty word to something the world trusts and respects, while at the same time giving you the tools and the strategies and the mindset to help you close more deals and make more money. Until next time, thanks for tuning in and helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.